Right. All right. Well, go ahead and call the meeting to order. We'll start with the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. There's just a couple items that were added to consent agenda. Additions or corrections, other than the one noted? Take a motion to approve?
Make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Ryan. Who have a second?
Yeah, second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Consent agenda, is there any item on there? If not...
Make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
Yeah, second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Visitors, counselors, none. Mayor's report. I have nothing tonight. Public forum, we have one, Ron Carlson. Come up.
Ready?
Yep.
My name is Ron Carlson. I'm at 61698 257th Avenue, Manorville, and I do have some properties in Casson. The three questions I have for you, when the assessments were due, do you guys send out a bill or any type of invoice for that? You just automatically, it's, what was it, November 15th? Okay.
November 15th, and everybody had gotten a letter with what your, with that date on it and how much you owed way back in...
2023, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that, would that have gone to me, Linda, or do you think that went to my building? I guess I'll just finish my story. Anyway, I went to pay it off, and, because I wanted to write it off for last year. But when I went to pay it off, they made me pay the whole interest for 2026. That don't seem right. Normally, if you pay off a bank or something, it should stop. But I had to pay, yeah, I asked them, I said, well, if I pay it now or if I pay it next December 31st, it'd be the same amount. That seemed odd to me. Not just a question I had for you, counsel.
That is set by the county, though, right?
Yeah, unless we certify it to the tax levy, the county puts it on. I guess that's part of their policy, I would imagine. I don't know what their policy is.
So I would assume you'd have to talk to the county or the county commissioners on that one, because once we put it on there...
They said to talk to you, so...
Okay. If you could look into that a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, we can look into it, but yeah.
I just, you know, I wanted to pay it off, and it's just like normal business, if you pay it off...
It's to that day, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. My next question I got is, on my utility bills here, I have a stormwater charge. Now, I have my own stormwater system. None of my water goes into the city, and I'm getting billed for that, for something that I don't need and I don't use. And that, to me, doesn't seem right.
And everyone has a stormwater charge, whatever property is, whether they have a pond or not. That's just...
What was that, Tim?
Everyone has a stormwater bill, whether they, you have a pond or not, whether it's the Shopco or city pond or anything like that. It's a stormwater charge. The city council created that. And so it's based on your property. And, you know, so, I mean, I know you've had this discussion with Jessica and the utilities billing officer several times. So, you know, we don't exempt properties from the stormwater charges. That isn't how it works.
Well, do you feel that's fair for somebody to pay for something that they don't need, don't use, and maintain yourself?
I have a holding pond behind my property, and that's where all my stormwater goes. But it has...
Who maintains it?
I do not know.
Who owns it?
It's in an outlot that is in the subdivision.
So the city owns it then?
No.
And they maintain it? Well, that's just a question I had for you. Just like... Yep. I think you could all feel the same way. If you don't need it, you don't use it, why do you pay for it? And it's a small amount. You know, I pay it on my other buildings because I realize my water goes into your system. but no place does it touch any of Casson's property. And it's not maintained by you guys. It's my own, and I have to maintain it myself.
Where does the water go now? Into the pond, to the...
No, it goes under that access road that goes into Shopko, and it goes into that wetland area.
Yep. To the northwest, right?
North.
North, okay. Yeah, well, we would have to talk to Brandon and see if he...
Yours is a whole, you've got a holding...
System. It's like a pipe, I don't know the technical name, but it's like a septic system under there where the water goes in, goes to six-inch pipe, it slows it down, and then it goes under that access road.
Which then goes into the creek?
Yeah.
It's part of our stormwater system.
Which is, yeah, part of the city's stormwater system.
The creek is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, because that's where all the stormwater goes, so...
But I'm managing it, I mean...
But it's still going into, to the creek, and then if anything happens to the creek, the city has to take care of that.
But the city mows and keeps...
Mows it, and then they have to upkeep the creek.
You don't mow a creek.
Next to it.
Oh, next to it.
Which then, that is the city's property, so, which gets the water there faster. So it's, yeah, it's, I can ask Brandon and see, but once it goes, it connects into the city, then it becomes a stormwater charge.
DNR, none of, they don't get involved in any of that, that's up to you guys.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's a question I had for you.
Okay.
My next question is, I got a bill from the city, for $142. Can I show it to you?
Yep.
Can we come up?
Yep.
My question is, you know, what's that for?
That's an engineering charge.
I think it's $1,000.
It says engineering review and observation, so there'd be an engineering charge that was passed through onto them from WHAS.
Isn't that part of my $2,000 that I paid it?
I mean, Ian, you could take a look at this for Mr. Carlson probably, but I mean, I guess if it's already exceeded the $2,000, then it'd be a pass through.
You know, it kind of goes back when I bought the property and probably realized, when I bought the property, it was a commercial lot, and that's what I paid for. But after I got into it, that front part was not a commercial lot, and I had to pay to get that rezoned, even though my purchase agreement says it's a commercial lot. You know, I don't know what it costs these days to rezone something, couple hundred bucks, $300. I paid that, and, you know, I thought that was part of the purchase agreement. I didn't think nothing of it. But then when I get a, you know, time I put my permit fees and all the other fees on, and then I get a bill for $147, it's like building a house and charging somebody for 5 pounds of nails. It just bugged me.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have to check and see where the limit is, and we'll check with our engineer, because it's an engineering cost, so...
But what's the $2,000 go to when you pay for a permit for him to review it?
Ian, is that his replanting fees, or...?
That was the site plan review charge, so a lot of that does go to Brandon, or WHKS, rather, for the time that he and his firm put into reviewing the application, as well as my time, Tim's time, Linda's time, other city staff, all of that.
Okay, I didn't know where it went. It just,
yeah.
To me, it seemed like it all went to Brandon.
This one specifically does.
Okay. And, I don't know, it just, I'm just going to say it because it bothers me, but... You know, the rezoning on my lot, which was a commercial lot, do you think I have cause to come back and get reimbursed for that?
For what?
For the zoning. I had to change it from residential to commercial, and when I bought it...
I mean, you could probably go after the realtor who sold to you and said it was commercial.
You guys sold it to me.
I sold you a lot?
The city did.
When was this?
7 years ago. It's one in front of Shopko there.
Okay, well, I'm not familiar with that. We can take a look at it.
Yeah, you would have to look back.
Unless there was some kind of a warranty made that it was zoned specifically. It wouldn't normally say in a purchase agreement.
It was a commercial purchase agreement, and I guess I'd like you to look at it, and that bothers me.
I understand that. I don't think that, I probably drafted the purchase agreement. I can tell you right now, if it's one I drafted, I don't think you're entitled to any kind of a refund.
Based on the terms contained in it?
The city doesn't make any representations with regard to what the zoning is of the property. You're just buying the property. If it's zoned something differently and you have to modify it, that is what it is.
But in there, if it says it's a commercial lot, I assume it's a commercial lot.
We'd have to look at it.
I'd have to look at it. Just because the title of the purchase agreement is commercial purchase, I'd have to look.
Okay. All right. If you look at it and let me know, please.
Sure.
And another thing on that fee too, you know, when I went, and then I'll be done. When I went to get my permit, they had told me it would be here like three different times, and I came down three different times to pick it up, and it wasn't here. Brandon charges for his time. Can I charge for my time?
Not unless you have a contract with the city that says that you're entitled to reimbursement for that. No.
Run that by me again?
Not unless you have a contract with the city that says that the city is going to pay you for your time.
But if they tell you something and it calls you, isn't that... if they tell you it's ready, you come down, you take your time to get it, and it's not ready? I mean, they're not liable for that.
Well, I don't think that the city has to pay you for it. Is it frustrating? Yes. Again, this is probably something that we'd need to get some input
sure.
from.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to get it off my chest. Come in.
And that all of your issues here tonight, and Brandon is missing out. That's
convenient.
How unfortunate.
Yeah, I know you'll get back to me. I'm not worried about that. I just want to come and tell you my three concerns and go from there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh no, we've got this.
All right. That is there any other? I have no other cards for public forum, so we'll go public hearings. Committee report: hiring of aquatic center employees and approval of the 2026 wages.
So you can see in your Dropbox, you've got a list there of the employees, and it goes all the way from our manager, and you can see the wage scale there, and the assistant managers as well. We have one that's going to be returning as an assistant manager who's going to be the senior assistant manager, Ian Kujat, and so that would be a slightly higher wage there, $18.25. Otherwise, you see the wages laid out there across the board, and so we have had a few amendments to this list throughout, but you can see the names that are listed there now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if there's any questions. Park and Rec reviewed this, and they recommended approval for it. We had good, healthy interest in the applicant list, so we have a number of new kids starting at the Aquatic Center this year, mostly on the service side with the food service. Otherwise, we have a number of returning guards, and we're encouraging the returning guards, obviously, to get their WSI so they qualify for a higher wage for that, too. So we'll be able to support lessons at the level we want to be able to support.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of scary to see some of the names on there and realize that they're old enough now to work at the pool.
Right. Yeah, I think we've got some people that are 2011 birthdays, so mm-hmm. makes you think a little bit. So anyway,
born before we had the pool.
So. Mm-hmm. Does anybody got any questions on that? If not, I would take a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mel. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ryan. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, everybody. Up next, Mayor and council salaries under old business. So, does everybody have a chance to look at that after the last meeting?
Yep.
Is there any more discussion on that? Not, I would look for a motion to approve. I will make a motion to approve the mayor and council salary increase effective for the next election. Do we have a second?
To match which level?
To match Byron. So figuring they're the closest, they're, so. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second, is there any more discussion?
I think it's always just important to remind everyone that this doesn't start until next year if it's voted on and approved.
Not until the next election.
Not until the next election, and 4/5 of us are up for reelection. And we're, there's no ballot at this point, so there's a lot of changing variables. So this is not a direct impact to anyone sitting at this table. 4/5 of us, anyway.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Abstain, since I am the only one that's not up for reelection.
Okay. Get that, Linda?
Got it.
All right, thank you. Fire hall community room rental. I'd put that back on there from the last meeting. Little discussion on that. We've had a few that were starting to use the fire truck bay for different things, and I was just curious if we wanted to raise the rate a little bit for that, just for the fact that the firemen volunteer the time, but you still have to start all the vehicles, you have to open up all the bays, so, and, you know, you have more electricity.
I've talked to the firemen, and they would be okay with even doubling the fee for the truck bay. But there would be the requirement that the firemen be there in some capacity, because for these events, the firemen have been there to sell alcohol. They've gotten a liquor license for those events. So the firemen are there. So as long as they're there in some capacity to monitor that, they would be okay with that. So we could double the fee and make it a requirement that the firemen are there in some capacity, that basically this group is hiring them.
As volunteers, though? Or do they want to be paid?
No, they are there as volunteers.
Okay, I just make...
They haven't paid for this.
I just verify that.
What they make is their alcohol sales.
Yes.
But the group that has the hall, basically kind of, they don't pay them, but they kind of hire them
mm-hmm.
as their alcohol.
Sure.
So that would be a requirement of having that. And if you don't want to double the fee, we can always double the deposit in case something got wrecked, because if nothing gets wrecked, the deposit totally goes back to them.
What if it is an event that does not involve alcohol, but as we're about to discuss, mm-hmm. but they are requesting the entire facility? What is the fireman's view on that?
Okay, that's a different issue, and I talked to them about that too. And they are not in favor of that, because no firemen would be there. There's no way to cordon off the sections that the people cannot be in.
Okay.
So they would rather not have post-prom there.
Okay.
What if post-prom hired them out but just didn't have them sell alcohol?
I'm sorry, Ryan, what did you say?
So if you paid the extra fee to have the fire department there to help host your event as volunteers to sell alcohol, couldn't an entity come in and say, we want to pay the same fee, but you just don't have to serve the alcohol?
The group doesn't pay them to serve the alcohol.
The sales do.
The sales pay them.
But we're, yeah.
So they're volunteering their time.
And it's a it's a fundraiser for their relief association, not that they're being paid directly.
So you can't rent out that space unless you're going to use the fire department as...
Well, I think that's what we're saying. Typically in the past, when it has been rented out, it has been related to an event like that did have serving. And I think part of the issue that the fire department noted is, I mean, this event goes until...
3:00 AM.
Yeah, it's an early morning event, so somebody would have to be committed to, you know, being there basically all night long.
Well, and then they have the command center, they have their uniform area. There's places where you can't block off with 200 kids there, and even 25 to 30 chaperones. That's a lot of kids with access to, and the equipment room, the exercise equipment, you know, that they can't block off either. There's places in the fire hall that you can't lock a door so nobody can get to.
Yeah, I understand.
If you're in the bay.
Yeah.
We'll stay on the first topic first before we go to that discussion, but basically, I'm just asking if we want to charge more to offset our cost of electric and wear and tear on the, because all the vehicles have to be started to move down.
I mean, they're also getting more space.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, so it seems fair to increase the price. I don't have any problem with that. And then I just, again, kind of commenting on the next topic a little bit, in that we should probably have, if they're going to use that space, we need to have a representative from the fire department there. And then I guess to maybe be a little more overarching on future requests, not necessarily prom or whatever, but maybe we, you know, if we got the requirement the firemen need to be there, we'll leave it up to whoever the potential renter is to have an agreement with the fire department for how that's going to be handled, right? So then, maybe they don't agree to do prom, but maybe there's some other event that they don't want to serve alcohol at, but they could, you know, pay a fee to have a fireman there to chaperone instead, right? And then it'd be at the discretion of the fire department, I would think.
And they may be more amenable to it if it's like during the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have a lot of firemen that want to stay up from 11 to 3:00 and...
Yeah.
Watch all these kids. Because you're going to need more than one.
Maybe they have a kid that wants to go to the party, too. I don't know, who knows? But I think leaving it up to the discretion of the fire department to say yes or no on any particular event seems reasonable.
Events in the bay.
In the bay, yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, got to make sure you put it that way.
Yeah. Could that lead to any issues if we leave that to the discretion of the fire department?
Well, I think what you do is you leave it to the fire department to make a recommendation.
Yep.
And then the council would receive that recommendation, and you would still make a final decision. And I think your decision would probably be more on the no side. So like, you know, if they're recommending yes, then there's a good reason that you'd want to allow it. It'd be, if you see an issue that they aren't seeing, then you would say no. But I think that would be the prudent way, is, just like we do with some of the committees and things. They make a recommendation, but it's still up to council. At the end of the day, it's your building. I mean, it's their building, but we're fiscally responsible for it financially if something gets damaged. It's not going to be one of the individual firefighters who's going to pay for it, it's going to be the city council. So I think that's important to have your input on that, too, so...
And that's where, when I talked to the fire department, their recommendation was no to the post-prom. They were not interested.
I do, I'd be concerned. I mean, I think it's not a facility that's specifically intended for that large of a group. Because I would love to support the school with that, because I think it'd be great. I know they're concerned about their other venue closing, and I understand that. But unfortunately, this is one where it's just like a, it's not a great fit. You know, I don't know, what was the max capacity at the Midway building?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. I saw it on the wall over there. Because I wonder if that would be one they could look into. Because that, I mean, that's much easier. That's just a square building with a kitchen and bathrooms.
I don't think there'd be enough room there.
I don't, yeah, just kind of...
I don't remember what it was, but...
That's too many kids, yeah.
Yeah, there really are 200. It's a big, I don't even know if that really would be a good fit for the fire hall, honestly. There'd be so many.
It seems like that would be a lot of kids, too, especially if you're going to...
With adults also, too.
It is nice that they're trying to find a venue in town.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I said, I wish we could, because it'd be great to keep local here, but it is just a tough fit with that kind of a building. It's not intended for that kind of a usage, you know, having people.
We used to go to athletic club.
Yeah, it used to be.
So on the, we'll finish the one, and then we'll go out to the next one.
I agree with Paul, increasing the fee to match the size and scope of how much you're renting. I think it's fair.
But I want to, what is our current fee?
$50 an hour.
So we would double?
Minimum of 2 hours.
So that one would go to $100 an hour with a minimum of 2 hours?
Yeah.
Because I wanted...
It's more than double the space.
Yes, yes. And
the space is not as finished, so I think that's a good starting point.
It's a walk.
That's fair to consider it that way.
And I just, and we'll make sure that, noted that the firemen have to be there. I want that noted in there also, just, even though they already say it, I like it in the writing, so.
We'll redline this and put it in the consent agenda
For next...
For the next meeting.
Perfect.
And if you don't like how it's redlined, I think you can pull it off the consent agenda and we can talk about it again.
All right. Thank you. Now we can go on to the request from post-prom. And yes, we've been discussing that, but...
Already, so you can see what's in the packet there, and I know Linda had talked to them in person and, or over the email, so, you know...
But you're looking at 250 people there.
Yeah. I mean, I think because the public room is intended for, what, 60?
76.
65 or something like that?
76.
76.
Okay. So I mean, you know, you could get a number in there. Now, that is people who are sitting at a table, like, packed, not packed in, but like, in close quarters. You know, not people that are moving around or, you know, whatever, they're doing games or whatnot, and...
Right.
So, I don't know, there just isn't a great space for it.
I wish we could help them, but, like you say, both parts were, one where the fire department doesn't have the volunteers to man it.
It's more of a safety concern.
Yes.
And I think that that is a valid reason to say, you know, the total space, if you had the meeting room fully occupied and the kitchen fully occupied, it's 106 people.
Yeah.
And it's just too many risks involved with having folks not fully supervised in that space with the equipment and the hazards that are there.
Did the fire department feel like this was not a good idea?
They were concerned with the equipment and how to man and keep it.
If they were comfortable with it and they were willing to help support it by being there, that'd be a different story, but we don't know that. And they're not making anything by selling alcohol, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's a financial, not really a gain for them, it's more of a loss by giving up their time. I would like to try to help the district as much as possible, keep post-prom as close as we can here. It's important for the kids to have that opportunity because we don't want them to go make other choices on that night, but...
Can the, and I know this isn't our spot, but is the school available with their gyms?
The one gym is used for the dance.
Yep.
And coordination, so I don't know if they...
But usually they got time because they go off to supper and then come back. We could ask the school, or the post-prom committee could ask the school.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
They could, there's other avenues they could maybe check.
But that's an option.
Sure they are looking.
Sure.
And the key thing is, I forgot that there are all of those areas that can't be locked.
Right.
I completely forgot that that was the case.
And yeah, even the upstairs, you could, yep. So, all right. So we'll have to say no.
I'll let Marlo know.
As much as we'd like to, we'll have to say no. Thank you. All right, gambling ordinance. This was brought back from last month when we had people concerned about the 3%, and we were discussing of changing it to potentially 1%. Did we get any more ideas of how much from places, or no? It was just the one?
We've only received the one report so far, so we have told them. I think based on, and Linda, I'll let you handle this one, but I think, you know, Linda could talk about it more because she's looked into it more, but I think we are comfortable lowering it.
We're comfortable lowering it to 1%, and we leave the 10% of net, or of...
Net, yep.
Net, yes.
That's right.
So that's still quite a bit that we're getting every month from each organization. Because the 3% plus the 10% I got from one organization was $12,000. That's the check I have sitting on my desk.
I know the hockey program reached out to me. They were concerned with how high this was gonna become throughout the whole year.
They're the ones I got the check from.
Yep.
But that is...
And...
A lot, if you're gonna get that from four different organizations every single month.
But you remember the reason we brought this forward is we were not getting reports and not getting ideas of where the money was going. And we've asked and asked, and this was our way around it, but we weren't sure...
That's what I told them.
What to expect, because we had no idea, because we hadn't seen them. and now that we do, that's why, you know, 1% does.
Yeah, there are, I mean, there are only specific purposes that's allocated for.
Right.
You know, one of the issues we know is that we're behind, as you well know, in the park system. And so I think that's the biggest thing that we're looking at allocating that funding for is a couple park modulators. And that's something we can accelerate and kind of backfill some of the shortfalls that we have. Because it's, at the end of the day, it's all for the children. It can't be spent on anything else. It's for our kids or for the festival in the park. And those are good, really good uses of it, I think, at the end of the day, because it's supposed to be serving the kids. It also allows the other, the organizations, which may have already been flexing a little bit to use the funding the way they want outside of the service territory of KM. You know, because previously we had said, hey, it has to be here. Well, we know that not everyone was necessarily following those rules, you know, and we know that some of the funds they're giving are still giving, you know, to good charities, cancer, telethon, Eagles, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think it gives them some more flexibility, but it also enables us to move forward with some of the other things. And we're open to tweaking it some more if we find that it's, if it's, you know, working well, better than we think, or we still have more funding than we need, then I don't think that's going to be the case because we're, you know, how short we are in fund funds. But I think we are open to tweaking again later this year, into next year if we need to.
So the recommendation right now is on page 6, section 13, change the 3% to 1%. And in section 15, change the 100% to 50%. The 100% in within Casson, and that way they still can support local. And we want them to support local, you know, hockey teams or basketball teams or whatever. And then they can still support the Cancer Telethon, the Dorothy Day House.
And one of the important things to keep in mind is that net percentage is after they've paid all their costs. So it's really, I mean, it's after they've paid their employees, paid for all the product, all the other stuff. So obviously that number is going to be a lot smaller than any gross number. But It's not. It's just something they would add on their list of things that they have to pay.
Have we? I can redline this too and put it in the consent agenda on the next meeting for approval. But if you have any questions, I'm willing to answer them.
And with only the hockey program paying right now, do we have to reimburse anyone else if we change it from 3 to 1?
Well, no, and in fact, the hockey, I still have the check.
We haven't cashed it.
Okay.
So make sure we're not taking more than we're supposed
to. Then they'll cut a new one and get the old one back.
Okay.
How much would it change it?
It's about $3,000 less, I think.
So it'd be a 9 instead of 12?
That's right.
Can you give me an explanation of the 100% to 50%? What does that mean? I'm reading this and it's not clicking on what exactly.
Right now
it says.
They're required to use 100% of their charitable gambling in the KM service area.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now we're saying that we're giving them an option, which some of them have already taken advantage of in the past, to use that for supporting other charities outside of our service area.
So now they would have to spend 50% in, and 50% they could spend in other communities.
Or here, yes.
For example, the Dodge County Hockey Program donated money back to the organization to pay Olmsted Medical Center to use their facility over in town to skate on the fake ice. So that's what they've used it in the past for. Some of it. So that would be outside of our service area.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so what you're saying is that the Section 15, Subdivision 1, the change from 100% to 50% is not really going to change anything because you think people have been doing that anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that's fine then.
I mean, we're always glad to be able to reduce these if we can. So, I mean, I'm glad that we're able to reduce that down from 3 to 1. So
redline that.
Yep.
Perfect. No new business. Administrator's report.
Okay, a few things to talk about today, not too much. Power contracts. They're still coming. You've got it right up there in Compass. Jay Anderson had his review. It went relatively well. He's doing a good job. Appreciate his work there. Fire department reception. We had the reception. Appreciate the firefighters, all the work they do. Had opportunity to represent the city, and I think they really appreciate us being there and the support that we've given over the years. Let's see here. Veterans Memorial. I met with that committee. I just want to make sure that council is all on board for what they're asking for is kind of what we discussed in December, which was dedicating some of that funding from the liquor store. They're looking at 50% of profit from the liquor store for 2025. They are looking for that to be dedicated if possible. So that's what they're asking for, and that's kind of what we had discussed in December, but it's certainly up to you what you'd like us to do with that. I think they said they've raised about $50,000 now, so, you know, they're still on track. I know the staff's going to be supporting them heavily. Public Works is going to be, and the Parks Department's going to be working with them on the moving of the sand volleyball court over to the eastern part of Veterans Park, and then replacing that area, making sure that it's prepped. So we want to continue to make progress at the staff level if we can. And that's all in kind that we're going to be doing for them to try and help support that project. So I guess I was looking for feedback if that is what the council's intention was.
Tim, what would the 50% have been in 2025?
This year it's probably about $30,000.
And then after we've completed that project and it's paid, then we would discuss what we do in the future with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the discussion council had in December was that we wanted to support the parks, once again, support families and children. And so, obviously, each year you can make any allocations you decide to do, but that would be something that in the future would say, okay, well, we're going to allocate it towards whatever you decide there.
Yeah. So you're looking
that way, the liquor store is showing its value to the public. All right. I guess so. I am looking for feedback on that. Is that what we want to go with, or what are you thinking?
Yeah,
I think it's a fair number. That it doesn't get them to their goal, but it gets them closer.
Okay.
Because right, we're going to be donating some manpower.
Right. Absolutely. So. I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of the work, working with, I mean, some volunteers they have, and volunteers, but some contractors are being paid, some are volunteering their time and kind and stuff like that. So, okay. Well, I appreciate that. If everyone's comfortable with that, let's see here. We've got confirmation on our budget numbers for this year. The state is going to be making some changes in the 27-28 biennium budget, so we do expect those. I tend to be very conservative on that, so I am planning a 3-5% reduction in state aid. So that's kind of what we're planning for in our 27 budget cycle. Let's see here. I'll skip the remote work request for just a second here. We've got a five-year planning review that I work with Brandon on, and so you can see a couple of the projects in there that are pretty substantial. The one that's come up now is the one that we've talked about a little bit in the past, is First and Second Northwest, and he's thinking that it's going to be around $9 million. So it is a big, big chunk. Now, part of that will be paid by utilities and things like that, but right now, he's not here, of course, tonight, but otherwise I'd let him talk about it more, but I think, you know, it's possible we may split that in half, just because it may be a better project. One problem with a big project like that is that we do have a tendency to lose bidders, because some contracting firms, I mean, we've seen it with the Southwest Reconstruct, with SL, I mean, they're going to go into a second year because they weren't able to finish the first year. So we want to try and allow for any maybe smaller local bidders to also bid a project, which would be advantageous, possibly financial, but also supporting a community. So I think that may be something we end up recommending. I don't know if we will, but it's possible we would do part. Probably the south side of the project would be done in 1 year, and then the north side. We might even skip a year and then do the north side of it. So anyway, that's the next really big one. We talked a lot about the sewer main line, which you're familiar with. We've got the engineering on that is almost done. So we did receive grant funding for part of that, as you recall. And I think he's got it kind of slated as a $4 million project. So that's another project that is coming up on the sewer side. And then the electric stuff that you're well aware of. Terrible gale you talked about. Then I'll go back to the remote work request here. So Sarah's going to be out of the office here in February and March, so she's requested that she have an ability to do some of that. And I'm recommending that in line with our flexible work policy that we would allow for her to do that to a certain number of hours. And then I would just monitor that myself and make sure that I feel like it's done appropriately. The biggest thing is that with our audit firm, they were bought out this year. Smith Schaefer was bought by Cohen Resnick. And we did have field work this week, which went very well. I think we're ahead of far ahead of where we were last year at the same time. However, I mean, what I was telling the auditors, like, the good thing is, you know, last year it was a little bit of a scramble for us, and they were really on top of it, so that helped us. This year, it's kind of a scramble for them because they've got all new processes, all new personnel, all new technology, and so thankfully we're going to make it as easy as we can on our side this year, so it feels good to be on that side of it instead of the other. But that does allow Sarah to be checking things more often when she's out of the office to and giving her credit for that time. She has served for over a year, and that is the main criteria, is that she made this request. So with council's permission, I'd like to allow her to do that.
Do we need to Make a motion or just?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind making a motion on that, I appreciate it.
I'll make a motion to allow it.
I'll second.
Any other discussion? Not? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
That's all I have, I think, tonight.
Okay.
If there's any questions.
Thank you, Tim. Engineers report, he's not here. Could have been. Personnel, promotion of firefighter Levi Roline to administrative lieutenant. And that was something we added to their.
That's right. We budgeted for it last year. It was based on the feedback from the police chief that his staff person, the time constraints for her were going to be reduced. So the fire department asked that they be able to allow to create this extra position. And I know there'll be some transitioning and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, I know that the fire chief isn't able to be here tonight, but he'd like to see this person start here as soon as possible so they can start getting trained.
And I would take a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Mel, do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ryan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Anything from our attorney tonight? Nope. Okay. Correspondence, is there anything in there? Nope. Okay. Roundtables, anybody got any discussion tonight for the roundtable?
Did we have any follow-up on if the messenger serviced enough people in town? As we looked at our paper of.
So, what the statute says is if there is a qualified newspaper within the political subdivision, then they have the preference unless the following conditions are met. So, the other newspaper, the one that the city would like to designate, is also a qualified newspaper. The publisher furnishes a sworn statement verified by a recognized independent circulation auditing agency covering a period of at least 1 year ending no earlier than 60 days before designation of the newspaper, stating that the newspaper circulation reaches not fewer than 75% of the households within the political subdivision. Three is the newspaper has provided regular coverage of the proceedings of the governing body of the political subdivision and will continue to do so. And four is the governing body votes unanimously to designate the newspaper. So really, number two is if they've has that newspaper provided that sworn statement so that they can, that would be how you would. To designate someone other than the one located within your political subdivision. So.
Do
more
we,
confusing.
Is that something the city has to reach out to them, or they would have to, since they did give us a bid, correct?
They told us a bid.
Oh, they did not?
They gave us the numbers on how much, if we were to advertise in the
yes.
paper, would cost.
Okay.
Versus what it costs the DCI.
Okay.
I think it was $8 a line instead of 12, something like that.
Yeah.
Based on the criteria the city attorney's laid out, I think it's probably unlikely at this time that the paper would qualify.
Yeah.
Just based on the fact that it's, I'm not sure the circulation numbers, we think it's probably unlikely that they probably meet that requirement.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't want to do something we're not supposed to. That's
true.
Yeah.
Well, I understand, and I appreciate that. I think it's you know, certainly if that becomes the case where they are a bona fide newspaper, that's something we could consider in the future.
Is there any other items for roundtable?
Did anybody have any questions on any of the stuff that I sent out related to the data centers? So there is a lot of information there. I know Councilman Johnson had some questions, so some good questions. I appreciate that. If you ever do have questions, I'm glad to sit down with you and talk with you about it. I know I've got some meetings scheduled later this month. Actually, it'd be next month, early next month, related to some possible opportunities. Obviously, you know, without being the right fit, it doesn't make sense to do it. But I know that planning and zoning will be taking a look at, as well as the EDA has talked about a little bit too, some site selection. So there's a lot of pressure from the federal government on making sure that these work. people are using, constantly using the data, so it's just interesting to see if it could work for us or not. I know that Pine Island recently approved theirs. That's a far larger scale than I think anything we'd be looking at, certainly. I think that would impact our water and sewer more than I would be comfortable with. But anyway, let me know if you have questions on anything. I'm glad to try and find answers for you.
Are most of them moving towards the recirculating cooling system that you talked
about?
That's
the trend. You know, it's interesting, you know, if you look at that presentation, it's kind of a, with power on one side and water on the other, you know, the less water you use, the more power you use, because you have fans that are cooling instead of the water. So that what they're trying to do is kind of that sweet spot where they can have the water recirculating, you know, and it does have some loss, but then you would see a much smaller amount. You'd see 10,000 gallons a month or something like that, a much smaller number. Because for us, you know, with all the money that we spend on water, it's hard for me to justify doing the water tower without having someone else pay for it. Now, Cannon Falls, that, you know, data center is putting in, $40 million of infrastructure that the city's not going to pay for, including new water towers, new pipes, new all kinds of things. So it is possible. It's just a matter of making sure that things are done right. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with the 100-megawatt scale. I think that's just not, with the closeness of Byron to Cassin, I feel like this area between us is a development zone, which is going to be a good development zone, but a lot of it's going to be residential. And, I mean, that seems like what the demand will be over the next 25, 30 years. Pine Island, you know, they've kind of got more space kind of to the northwest of the city there. So, but anyway, like I said, if there's any questions, I'm certainly glad to try and answer those for you if I can, or find information, because I don't know everything about it certainly yet.
But there is more and more information out there.
Yeah, and if there's any questions, you know, I can go through the data that was provided by Smith at that training. You know, those are actually really good little snippets, because they had about 20 minutes per speaker. The one speaker was kind of the engineer who does the projects. They had a speaker from Minnesota Water, they had a speaker from the state of Minnesota, then a speaker from the University of Minnesota that has been doing research. So they each kind of have their own perspective on it, and it's not necessarily contradictory, but it's good to hear from all sides, not just, you know, kind of being stuck into one sort of facet.
Okay. If we have nothing else, I would take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
A second.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.